Hi, Satellite Sisters. We're excited to announce our new weekly newsletter, Pep Talk. That's right, it's happening. A little pep talk in your inbox on Fridays, starting in August. Every issue will be short and sweet with podcast highlights, our recommendations for books, TVs, and films that are going to keep you entertained, plus recipes and other, you know, tidbits. And of course, there'll be a little pep talk, because we all need that right now, don't we? It's the perfect newsletter to enjoy and then share with your Satellite Sisters and Misters. You can find sign-up links all over the place, on our social media, on our website, on our Facebook, on our Instagram. We would love to have you sign up for Pep Talk now. Thanks. You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Leanne Dolan here in Pasadena, California. I'm the youngest sister, and I'm also, I think, the smokiest sister today. I'm the hottest sister and the smokiest, and that has everything to do with the weather. I'm all fine. Thanks for everyone who asked. I'm a writer and producer, and I'm looking forward to today's show. Liz, you're back in the Golden State. How are you?
I am home in Santa Monica, sisters. I'll just say this. This is not where I expected to wake up this morning, but I will explain later on to the show, into the show. But I was gone for 2.5 months. That's insane, right? Because I left here late June to go up to Oregon. So it's always so nice to come home. So I'm happy to be home and happy to be with you guys. Julie?
That's good. Liz, it's nothing is insane. It's 2020, okay? And it's all good, right? I'm Julie Dolan. I'm the oldest sister. I live in Dallas, Texas. I'm happy to be here. I'm a podcaster. I've lived and worked all over the world. We're going to do some international talk today. And I'm also a grandmother. I have 5 grandchildren. They're all going to school this week, too. So how about that?
Okay. Wow. All right, good. We're going to get an update on that. Were you going to tell us exactly how that's happening? So, yeah, looking forward to that. Also on the show today, Julie, you're bringing an international news roundup. It's been a while.
It has been a while. You know, we've been very focused on what's going on here in the U.S., Leanne, but some of the same people are up to the same old tricks, and I have to fill you in on it. Yeah.
Yeah, poison is inspiring. So great. Terrific. Liz, you are going to pay tribute to a couple of people that you met this weekend, one of whom you met this weekend, both of whom happened to be teachers. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you what I was doing this weekend in Oregon. It was really interesting. But then also, special shout out to my high school American history teacher, who was one of my all-time best teachers I ever had. I just heard that she passed away. So, you know, Julie, you also had Shirley Thorman as a teacher. So we're just going to do a special shout out to, like, what makes memorable teachers so memorable. So more on that.
Okay, that sounds good. We also have entertaining sisters recommendations. And stay tuned. We're announcing our big September Facebook and Instagram contest. So hold on to your hats, get your hashtags ready, fire up your iPhones and your photos, because we are going to need them. This is Julie cooked up this idea for this contest. We like it. So we're going to tell you about it later on in the show.
Okay. Well, sisters, I wanted to start by telling you about a little ceremony I had this weekend with my daughter-in-law, Vera, and my granddaughter, Alice, because, you know, we're all in the same pod. And one of the things that I like, because I'm a mother of boys, it's so nice when I can do girl things with girl family members. It's really exciting. It's very exciting. So Lean and Liz, I like to save the special items from my FabFitFun box. And I do, we have a little like show and tell together, Vera, Alice, and I. You know, it's very nice. I get really excited about it. So we were this weekend, we were oohing and aahing about some of the products, and I was divvying them up. So like the Vitamask multivitamin mask set, that's hard to say. I gave that to Vera. You know, that's cooling. It's very good. And then the Beauty Papier Golden Superfood Shower Gel.
Oh, wow. Okay. That. I, oh, yes.
I gave that to Alice. I mean, I love the names of these things. They're so elaborate. I kept the Anastasia Beverly Hills Clear Brow Gel. I kept that for myself. Yeah. And then we pulled out this last item, and it's a gorgeous spray bottle, and it said Crease Release on it. And then it says Reduces Wrinkles. And so Vera and I were going back and forth about this. You know, it's classic scent. And I was like, Vera, I have more wrinkles than you do. You know, I really should take this. And she said, but it would be so good, like after you take a really, you know, hard nap or, you know, and you get those creases on your face. And we are literally spraying the Crease Release on our face and patting it in. And it has some French word on there. It says défoissage. And again, my French failed me, Liz and Leon. I don't know what that was, but we're like patting this stuff on our face. And then it was my son that said, hey, do you see, it also says The Laundress, New York.
Oh, my gosh.
We were literally slapping spray starch on our face.
And how did it work? Did it work?
I feel like my creases were released, Liz. I feel like it was reducing my wrinkles. Yeah, we're slapping. Can you, but it was. Crease release. It was releasing my creases, you know?
I can't believe you did that, because I looked at that bottle for like 20 minutes, like, what is this stuff? And then I noticed the laundress. I was like, oh, this will be good for me because I never iron, but it never occurred to me to spray it on my face. I like it. Wait, well, that's the fun part of those FabFitFun.
That must be why they put it in there. The bonus round, the fun round. Okay. So I'm looking good. That's all I can say.
Someone should invent that product, though. I think you have, that's a big idea, Julie. Just
I thought it was such a great name for a beauty product, Crease Release. Yeah, good. Okay. And you know how unsightly that is when you get up from a nap and you got all those marks on your face?
That's just such a specific use of a beauty product that I'm sure it will be invented, you know? Nap creases. Okay.
Okay.
Good. That is very funny. That's very funny. All right. Well, I know a lot of people have been asking. Honestly, no one's been asking. But I just wanted to give you an update on how my dancing is going during this stay-at-home period. You know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that I unexpectedly took up ballroom dancing a couple of years ago. I had a triumphant show in March where I performed a cha-cha to Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation. And then the next week, the shutdown happened here in California, and there's been no in-person dance classes, no studios are open here. It's impossible for my teacher to teach in person. So, you know, initially as a sign of support, I said, sure, let's do some Zoom dance classes, not really understanding how that even worked, but I just wanted to support my teacher because, you know, a freelancer like that, this is a bad situation. And let's face it, in March, we thought, well, a couple of weeks of this will be kind of fun.
Right. So flatten that curve. Yeah, we'll be back in action. No, exactly, Leah.
So I did not expect to actually learn an entire rumba by myself in my bedroom, in my bare feet, but that is what's been going on. He challenged me to learn a new dance, the rumba, and that is, the cha-cha is very hippie and it's fast and it's fun. The rumba is slow and sexy, and I am struggling. I will say this. About a month into these classes, he FaceTimes me. He's in his, you know, house 10 miles away. I'm upstairs and I'm trying to learn the steps and the hips and the this and pointing my toes. It's like everything I'm not. The rumba is everything I'm not. And I had to say to him eventually, like, I'm not sure this is me. He's like, you can do it. And what I realized was when we have class together, and I want you to remember this when you're watching Dancing with the Stars next week. Like, he is such a strong dancer and a strong leader. He just whips me around, you know? Your feet kind of follow and eventually you get it. But when you're dancing by yourself, you have to know all the steps and do all the moves. And he can watch you really intently. So I'll take like a half a step and he'll be like, No. Go back. Oh my gosh, it's exhausting. So I just want you to know, when dance competitions fire back up again, because this is what I am preparing for, my first competition. So as we joke, in 2040, when we're doing dance competitions again, I think I'm going to be ready. But it's been good to support him, because like, this seems to be going on forever. I read a terrible story in the LA Times this week about how all these dance studios all over Los Angeles are closing. So I'm happy to support him. Even if I can't do the Roomba, I'm going to keep doing the Roomba is my message to you.
Okay. Well, slow and steady, Leanne.
Yeah. There he is.
Slow. Sexy, I don't know.
Slow is right. I mean, I just have to keep saying, I don't think my hips can do that. Or like my feet, you know, sometimes I'll do something and then I fall over like, I'm cramping. And it's just pointing my feet. But last week they announced the cast for Dancing with the Stars. Now, I haven't watched Dancing with the Stars in years because they started putting a lot of felons on the show. And I just wasn't down with that.
No.
But... so, and they're, let's face it, they're really out of stars now. They're just putting, it's just Dancing with People You Might Have Heard Of is really the name of the show now. But I thought this year I'm going to rewatch again, because why not? It's going to be the only live TV happening, basically. Fan favorite Johnny Weir, I think, is looking good. The Olympic skater, you know, I like him. Skaters. Yes.
He's going to be fabulous. Yeah.
He will be fabulous. Natural showman, knows how to do all this, feels the rhythm, loves wearing costumes. Like, I can't believe he hasn't won already, but he's on the show. But here's who I want you to watch. Remember the actress Anne Hesh? Remember Anne?
Oh, remember? Yes. We remember Anne Hesh. Yeah. We go way back with Anne, right, Lynn?
Right. Anne Hesh was on Another World. That's the soap opera that the Dolan sisters actually watched. Somehow our mother, and she watched it too. She would let us watch Another World. So she played like twins on Another World. That's how she got her acting start. And then she's lived like 9 lives. She's been in big movies. She's been in tall, small TV shows. She was with Ellen for a while. She actually married Ellen in 2008. Then she married a guy named Corey Loeffler or LaFoon or something. One time when we won a Gracie Award, she was the host. So we saw Anne. She's quite a showman up there on stage. A lot happened. She really made a lot of bold statements on stage. So she is one of the contestants of Dancing with the Stars. She's 51 now. I feel like I'm going to be rooting for her and calling in for her, because she might have a very small group of support. So I feel like we can get behind Anne. That's what
okay,
I want.
Anne. All right. That's good. That's I like that. Why not?
So she is the official Satellite Sisters candidate for Dancing with the Stars.
Okay. I think so. Mainly because I didn't know most of the other ones except Johnny Weir and Anne Hesh. So, but there you go. I'm on it.
With Anne Hesh, I've always thought too, like, anything could happen at any moment.
Anything could happen. You know? Anything could happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question.
So that's good for live TV. Right. I mean, I'm talking about like beyond the dancing. Can happen with Anne. Okay.
There's going to be some emoting in those practice scenes. I can tell you that. She's going to be emoting. There you go.
All right. Well, that's something to look forward to this fall, because now my summer escape is officially over. So Hooper and I rolled in last night, rolled home in here in Santa Monica after kind of an unexpected change in plans, but there's nothing better than being home. It's nice to just be, because I left here the end of June. And so very long time. But here I am. But those of you who listened a few weeks ago to our South American episode, you know, in August, we replayed some of our favorite travel episodes. Well, you know that we were joking that, you know, we go to the Andes and we go to the Galapagos, but I've never gone to Yosemite. And so I was thinking about that as I was listening to that show in August. And I thought, well, maybe this is my chance. Maybe when I'm driving home from Oregon, this is the year to stop at Yosemite. And then I got on the National Park Service website. And because they were dramatically limiting access, you had to register for a drive-on pass. And I actually scored one of the drive-on passes. So I had expected to be waking up in Yosemite this morning. But Sunday, I was in Eugene And I was like swimming in the Mackenzie River with a couple of our cousins. It was a delightful day off. But, you know, as we were sitting there on the beach, I heard lots of texts coming in, but I was ignoring it because I was having a delightful afternoon outside swimming with our cousins. But it turns out it was like a half a dozen of my friends texting me saying, "You're not going to Yosemite, are you? Are you going to Yosemite? Are you at Yosemite right now?" And I was 100% oblivious to the news about what was going on there with the fires. So that night, when sitting in the backyard at our cousin's house, luckily our cousin-in-law, Kevin, grew up in that part of Northern California and is familiar with that and actually looked at a map. And I'm like, "So what do you think?"
Maps are good. That's something Dolans never do, is look at a map, right?
You know, it's just hard to know, like, how far away is that really? That was my main question to Kevin. Like, okay, if I'm over here and the fire's over there, is that close? Is that far? And he just kept saying, I would really not recommend that, Liz. not recommend that. So anyway, I went from Yosemite to Nosemite, which is fine. It's fine. There's, you know, it's still going to be there in the future years. And I deadheaded it all the way back. And so it's just, here's the positive point of view. It's just still on my goals now. So it's just, you know, there's still time for me in my life to get to Yosemite. Didn't happen to be this week, but, you know, I had an excellent alternate plan, which was just come home and settle back in here. So it's all good. All good, sisters.
Okay. Well, because Liz, last week you did a segment which you sort of pitched to us as a lighthearted look at all the things you didn't do this summer. And when we got into it, it was like, oh, you didn't clean a rug and you didn't learn your pedicure. And what was the last one? You didn't.
She had her box. She had her box.
Oh, yeah. You didn't open the box of stuff. Yeah.
I thought it was lighthearted.
Yeah. Although we could see like halfway through, we were like, not quite as lighthearted as we might have thought. But we got some grief on the Facebook page. First of all, Barbara wants you to know. She says, OMG, Liz Dolan, so unlike you to take the glass half empty stance about your summer vacation. Not done list. I mean, look at your 20 plus seasons of Cooking with Liz. You learned, you cooked, you entertained us all. And this is where we come in, Julie. I can't believe Leon Dolan and Julie Smith didn't pep talk you out of your own disappointment. Oh. Take credit and look at what you did. Yay, Liz. Well, there you go, Liz. Yay, Liz.
Thank you. I appreciate the pep talk. Can I just say that, listeners, I do have conversations with Leon and Julie that are not recorded, where they are highly positive about things that I've accomplished. So that was not a list of like, oh, woe is me summer. Like this was my whole summer. It just, there were three, you think I did accomplish a lot this summer, but there were just three silly things that I did not get to. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right.
So good note. Yay, Liz. But
yay, Liz. Go, yeah. Liz. Go,
yeah,
Liz.
Yeah, you're good. I am going to hold the line on the carpet, though. I feel like driving a dirty carpet 1,000 miles, keeping it in your car for 2.5 months and driving it home. I feel like you're going to regret that is all I mean. Like, because there's literally a dry cleaner at your house of Ben. There's one like a block and a half away.
I know.
It's even a drive through, and like nothing could have been easier. So. Other than that, but the pedicure, you're never going to give yourself a good pedicure, Liz. Just let it go. I mean, that's fine. And so
the box, we all
and the
have
box, we all have boxes. Right. Exactly.
Or drawers or closets. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But the carpet, you may regret that. But it was interesting because we had a graphic. So I posted it on our Facebook group thinking people would give, you know, what three things didn't you do this summer? Thinking things, people would list things along the lines of what you did, you know, sort of lighthearted things, small, not huge. But we had those. And then we had some really thoughtful, like, frankly, heartbreaking answers about all the things that people have missed out on over the course of the last 6 months. And I think it just reinforced the importance of acknowledging these losses that have occurred this year and really reframing the present. And so, Barbara, you're right. Glass half empty versus glass half full. Yeah, we need to sort of take the glass half full stance, but just acknowledge that people have missed out on a lot of really important things over the last 6 months. So So for that, Liz, I acknowledge the things that you missed out on.
Okay. My things were not important.
Well, or, to Barbara,
apparently they not, because you didn't do them. Okay. Oops. Okay. Oops. We're slipping back. Okay. Right. I'm sorry. I'm going to end this segment quick.
As long as we're talking about pep talks, Leanne, can I say that your edition of Pep Talk, the New Satellite Sisters newsletter last week, was just really great, because I think it is that time, early September, where no matter where you've been the last 6 months or what you're doing, this is a time of year where you feel like things are starting again. And, oh my God, how are we going to do this? How are we going to pull this off? So I was, you know, I was very moved and pepped by what you wrote. So thank you, Leon. I really appreciated the idea of, like, take a deep breath, step off the curb and give it a go.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks. Yeah, that took me a while to get to that. You know, inspiration strikes, and I tried a couple of other ways in, but I think it works. So thank you. If you haven't subscribed to Pep Talk, you can go to our website. There's a pop-up that will come up. You can subscribe there. There are lots of links at our website, satellitesisters.com, or on our social media. It's going to come into your inbox every Friday morning, if it kills me. So yes.
It's good to have goals, just week to week goals.
That's good.
It adds structure to your life. Besides the Roomba, and then a Roomba, whatever.
I should also get a Roomba. That's true, but it is the Roomba. All right, we are going to take some time here to thank a couple of sponsors.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Okay, sisters, I want to do a shout out to two amazing people. I mentioned this at the top, one of whom I met in high school and the other I just met this weekend. And both of them just have the heart of great teachers. So this weekend, here's what I was doing. I met a guy named Otis Davis. As I've mentioned on the show before, I'm working on things related to the sport of track and field. And this summer, I was going to be working on, you know, the Olympic trials would be up in Eugene, Oregon at the brand new Hayward Field, and then the Olympics. Well, we all know how that turned out. But anyway, Hayward Field still exists. And on the brand new Hayward Field, there's a big tower where four athletes are saluted. And the oldest of those athletes is Otis Davis. And this weekend was, believe it or not, the 60th anniversary of the day Otis Davis won a gold medal in the 400 at the Rome Games. So that was Rome 1960. He won a gold medal and he set a new world record. So he is recognized on this tower because he was the first ever University of Oregon athlete to win an Olympic gold medal. So that was kind of cool. So
That is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a whole, every story on the tower is a different gold medalist that came from the university. And then his picture is one of the big ones on the outside. So we had him there, you know, in a very socially distanced way to just do special recognition of his record 60 years ago. Can you imagine 60 years ago in Rome, what it was like? Those were the days when you like got on a boat to go to the Olympics, you know? Right. And, but here's the thing about him. He just has an amazing life story, which I did not know at all until we worked on it this weekend. He came to the University of Oregon as on a basketball scholarship, but it just so happened that his dorm was right across the street from Hayward Field. And he was looking out his dorm window and he was looking at the runners practicing. He thought, well, I could do better than that. So he went over and he just introduced himself to Bill Bowerman, the very famous track coach there. He's like, hey, I could do better than your athletes. And Bowerman said, well, what can you do? And Otis said, well, what do you need?
Wow.
So, yeah. And so he tried him at the long jump. He was really good at that. The high jump, very good at that. Like distance running, yeah, fine. He was good at that. But it's when they put him in the 400 and some of the sprints that they realized he had found his event. And so in 2 years, this is what's amazing, even if you don't follow a lot of sports stories. Imagine in 2 years, he went from walking onto that track for the first time and saying to Coach Bowerman, hey, can I help? To winning an Olympic gold medal and setting a world record. There's only 2 years that went by.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible?
That's an amazing story, Liz. Yeah.
It's just amazing. And then, you know, back in the day, there was no real professional track and field. Olympians were still, you know, allegedly amateurs. So he graduated from the University of Oregon and he became a teacher. And so he taught right there in Springfield, Oregon for a long time and then moved to the East Coast and has lived in New Jersey for a long time. And even though he's 88 years old now, sisters, and he is still a coach and mentor and what they call a verification officer, which I think they used to call like a truancy officer at the high school in Union City, New Jersey. So he works with kids to keep them engaged in school and sports. And it's just like it's just a very fulfilling story that he, in both ways, he found his calling. Like very quickly, you know, setting a world record, not for nothing, super hard to do. And then also finding his calling as a teacher. So I just wanted to say what an honor it was to meet someone like that this weekend and to have him there. And he also was very happy to be honored in that way, because I think you get to be 88, your record's now been broken, you know, by like Michael Johnson. And you just think, oh, well, maybe nobody remembers the contribution I made. So it was very nice to be able to say to him, we remember the contribution you made, Otis. So that was...
Yeah, you won't forget that, Liz. You won't forget meeting him, hearing his story. I mean, that makes such an impact, just connecting really? With him, right?
And also, we had to keep people far away because obviously COVID, but there was a moment where some of the runners came by, they were practicing on the track. And when he saw those kids, Julie, you know, just these college students go running, he just like lit up and started like yelling to them.
That's great.
Just is amazing. And then, so we did a whole bunch of filming and pictures and things. And that was on Sunday was the anniversary. And he was wearing his Olympic blazer. I think I sent you that picture or I posted it in my Facebook group, in my Facebook page. He used to, you know, he still fits into the Olympic. So that's right there is something.
Give him a gold medal for that. Yeah.
Okay, so Otis Davis, well done. Life very well lived. Second person in that category for me, Shirley Thorman, was my American history teacher in high school. Julie, also your American history teacher, right?
Yes, Liz. And, you know, I think one of the things about a great teacher is I know she was your favorite teacher. She was my favorite teacher, too. I think she's one of those teachers that could make each individual feel so special, so, you know, so motivated that it's not surprising that we both, you know, thought she was the best teacher ever.
Yeah. A high school classmate of mine posted it on her Facebook page this weekend. That's how I saw it. And Felicia, what she posted is, after 8 years of grade school, 5 years of high school, 4 years of college, and 3 years of law school, I can tell you that Shirley Thorman was one of the three best teachers I ever had. Hmm. Thank you, Mrs. Thorman. And then down below, she does explain why she was in high school for 5 years. And then another classmate noted, oh yeah, Mrs. Thorman, she totally had my number. And I think there is something like a great teacher, they have your number, but in a good way, you know? Mm-hmm.
She was very challenging. Yes, she wouldn't let you get away with things.
Right.
And she taught me what dialectic materialism was as a junior in high school. I mean, she really just, there was no idea, or she felt like everybody could handle like very complicated, you know, complex political theory. So she challenged all of us.
I remember going to her junior year. I was like, Mrs. Thorman, I got to get out of here. Can I just go to college next year? Can you help me? You're like, can I just
apply? Oh, really?
I was just, you know, I just felt like I was ready to get out of high school. And she's like, sure, I can help you with that if that's what you want to do. And then she spent like 3 months talking me out of it, just very slowly talking me out of it. So, and I, you know, back in the day, applying to college wasn't like a full-time business. You just,
no,
you can. Yeah. And I'm sure I never told mom and dad that I was thinking of doing that. I was just like, well, I'll just put my plan together and then I'll tell them, yeah, I'm going to go to college next year instead of waiting next year. Mrs. Thorman, she had my number. She could hear my, you know, my desire to like maybe do things that were more challenging or just get out of high school. And she talked me back into high school in the best possible way. So that was just, she will be, you think about certain teachers, for me, it's two. It's Ms. Sorkiati in second grade and Shirley Thorman, junior year of high school. And so all the teachers out there, you know, if you wonder if your students remember you, yes, we do. I mean, it's so important what you do that those two women are still in my brain all the time, at people that really had a huge impact on my life. So just wanted to say that Shirley Thorman, like, again, a life very well lived, where you made a huge contribution to many people.
Thank you, Mrs. Thorman. That's all we can say. Yeah. Well, it is, you know, speaking of school, it is what I'm now calling Satellite Sisters School Days. That is D-A-Z-E. Yes, because for many, many people, they have either started or they're going to start this week. Now, I just have a sample size of five. That would be my five grandchildren. And I gathered some reactions to what they were thinking about going back to school. Now, first of all, the most important thing to realize is what is happening now. This, when they go to school, that is school. What happened in the spring was not school, okay? For all three of my grandchildren, it's like that remote learning, that was not school. That was something else. But now school, the building, you know, that's all happening again. So I asked the first grader, I said, what, you know, was he, you know, when was he going back to school? Because the schedules are very complicated. And he said he had no idea when he was going to school. He said, Nana, it's very complicated, but he's excited to see his friend Alex Brown. And he always refers to Alex Brown as with both his first and his last name. So, but he has no idea when it's happening. So the fifth grader, very, very happy to be back at school. They went last week for a couple of half days. Really, really made a difference to see his friends, to be close to his friends. But he also, the fifth grader, figured out that with the hybrid system, he only has 2 days of school this week. So he thought that was excellent, too. So, okay.
Just enough. Just
enough. Yeah. The eighth grader, she was okay, but when she was a little bummed out because she realized her two best friends, because of their family situation, were doing online school. So they were not actually going to be back in school with her. So she's going to have to figure out when she can see her best friends, because they're not going to be at school this fall. And they they made a decision. You have to commit one way or the other. You can't float back and forth between being online and being in school. She also said it's really quiet at school in the classroom because everybody has a mask on and everyone's behind a plexiglass shield. So that's okay. So that's her report. Okay. Then we moved to my group in Brooklyn and there they were scheduled to be my Josephine was going to be in first grade in a public school in New York and Evelyn was going to go to nursery school. And so none of that is happening. They, my son and daughter-in-law and the two girls have moved to Connecticut where schools are open. So the first grader there, Josephine, starts at a school today. She is very nervous because, you know, she's now living in a new house. She's, you know, has to go to a new school. She knows one other child because my son and daughter daughter-in-law are doing it in a pod. Some friends of theirs also moved to Connecticut. So they're going to share childcare and try to, you know, and all the kids are going to go to the same school. So she seemed pretty nervous about that. And then the two-year-old who is scheduled to go to school has already announced that she is not going to school because she's two. Okay.
Yeah.
So that should be very nice on the first day. She doesn't care that her parents moved her to Connecticut so she'd have a chance to go to school. She's two and she is not going to go to school. So that should be lovely. So I think in general, everybody's sort of holding their breath, including the two-year-old, for fall.
Literally.
Yes, for fall semester 2020. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, well, wow. For your son and daughter-in-law to, like, make the quick decision to move out of New York to another state, that's so much hard work for parents to, like, make those decisions.
It just was untenable in New York that the school wasn't going to be open enough to, like, they couldn't figure out how they both could work. And how they could do, you know, the childcare and the online learning, they just couldn't make it work. I mean, so it was not their choice. They didn't want to leave, but they, you know, they really felt like it was the best decision for their family. And so
that's all one can do.
That's all that you can do. Yep.
What's Urban Nana going to do with all those black clothes? What are you going to do, Urban Nana? You got to get a whole new wardrobe in Connecticut.
I don't know. Connecticut, I got to get some pink and green, right? Some topsiders or something. I don't know.
Get some topsiders. Yeah, that'll be good.
Don't do that.
Those are sexy. Those are the sexy issues. Well, you know, we've been talking a lot about kids and that's, it's understandable, but there was an interesting piece in the New York Times by Kate Murphy this week. And it caught my eye because the headline rang true to me. It said, "We're all socially awkward now." And it said, "Deprive people of interaction with peers and their social skills will atrophy. This is yet another side effect of the pandemic." So we get that this is happening to kids, and this is a real reason why people want to get their kids back in school or in these pods with other families. But grownups, it seems, if they're deprived of consistent and varied peer contact, can get just as clumsy at social interactions as inexperienced kids. And this is based on research from, listen to this lineup of groups: prisoners, hermits, soldiers, astronauts, and polar explorers. Okay.
They've done some time in isolation. Yes.
Yes. And it says people separated from society by circumstance or by choice report feeling more anxious, impulsive, awkward, and intolerant when they return to normal life. And psychologists and neuroscientists now are seeing something similar happen all over the country thanks to the pandemic. We're kind of losing our facility and agility in social situations, whether we're aware of it or not. Have any of these things happened to you where you're like, people are oversharing on Zoom or overreacting to or misconstruing one another's behaviors? You want contact, but then when contact is around, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't actually think I want to be here. What am I doing here? Have any of you experienced that?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 100%.
Yeah. Like being in a physical space with people. Yeah.
It's yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a pretty odd malaise. I find like when I put that when I first particularly started wearing the masks, like I didn't even want to make eye contact with people. Or
I know. What's that about?
Right. Like
I can't see or breathe with this mask on. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I can understand why Alice says everyone's so quiet, because you don't really want to make chit chat, you know, small talk with the mask on. It just doesn't seem worth it. I even find, like, because I drive so rarely, like I get in the car and I'm like, okay, what's happening in this car? How do I get this car into reverse? So I'm not sure that's the social awkwardness. It's just you do lose skills. Yeah. So psychologists are saying, you know, this is normal. You'll get those skills back, but you do need to be kind of gentle and patient with yourself, because the readjustment is real. Mm-hmm. And every interaction you make helps you get back to normal. But they stress that you should try to stay connected and engage at least once a day with another person on a phone or on a Zoom call, or even if it's, you know, picking up your dinner, like try to make eye contact and converse with them in a small matter. And that will like help keep your skills sharp. But so then
your dog does not count.
I don't think your dog counts, because they can't talk back.
Okay. They start small, be gentle, be kind, and realize that everybody else is going through the same thing. I think that's
exactly
important.
Right.
That's important too. It's like, you're not the only one experiencing this. So I think it's very important not to overreact.
Mm-hmm. The last line is, have patience for your own and other people's weirdness. And and that's true. Mm-hmm. There you go. Just a reminder.
Okay. All right. Well, sisters, one more thing in this segment. You know, we haven't really talked about the International News Roundup in quite some time, because I think we have been so inwardly focused on what's happening here with the coronavirus. But I did want to give you some highlights that there's a whole world out there. You know, obviously the whole world is battling coronavirus, but there's some other news stories that I want to keep your eyes on. One has to do with Alexei Navalny. Now, he is the Russian opposition leader, but he was recently poisoned with Novichok. Mm-hmm. He was traveling from Siberia on a plane to Moscow, and apparently he was served some tea in the airport. He was poisoned. He was transferred to a German hospital in Berlin. He's been in a coma. He is now awake. But they're not certain, you know, how much brain damage he's going to have done, because this is the same. Novichok is the same nerve agent that was used on the Russian spy Sergei Skripal in London. Poisoned, right? Do you remember this? Yes. Now, the EU is demanding transparency from the Russians. Well, good luck with that. And Putin, Alexei Navalny is such an opponent of Putin that Putin won't even say his name out loud, because he doesn't want to give him any credence or any reputation. But could we just for a second do a short Satellite Sister history of the Russian poisoning stories that we have done here on Satellite Sister?
Long history. It's a long history.
I mean, starting in 2004, we talked about Viktor Yushchenko, the Ukrainian presidential candidate. Remember, he had that poison soup and that his whole face got really strange. Yes. We talked about how about the journal in 2004, the journalist Anna Pirovskaya. She was on a flight, an Aeroflot flight. She had tea again, poisoned, died. Litvinenko, we talked about quite a bit in 2006. He was the ex-Russian intelligence officer. He had that bad cup of tea in London, and he ended up dying. You know, but it has continued. 2015, 2018, critics and journalists of Putin have been poisoned. They just poison him and kill him, and that's it.
Yeah. And they seem to have no problem with us knowing that they're the ones doing it, right? It's like, they don't care. They just want to
impunity, Liz. You know, I mean, it's just no one is going to call them on it. I mean, the Germans are saying, well, they may reconsider a natural gas line. That's not going to happen. You know, I mean, they just poison all their critics.
Yeah.
And okay. I heard an analysis of like, why poison? Because it's so old fashioned. And the expert said, well, that's exactly why. The poison is just, it's so old school. And it's a way of saying every cup of tea could kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right.
Stay away from the soup too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all, yeah, it's just, it's very disturbing.
It's very disturbing. Okay. But related to that story, I mean, have you been watching what's been happening in Belarus? Now they have the longest serving, I'm going to call him a ruler, a president, Lukashenko. Okay. And he is really the last of those, like, sort of Stalin-esque dictators. I mean, do you realize everything in Belarus, you know, all the manufacturing is still state controlled. The media is state controlled. They have a very powerful secret police. But they've had oppositions and demonstrations, and these have been very widespread because they're fueled by, you know, the really dissatisfaction with all the corruption, with the poverty, with the low pay, the lack of opportunity. Certainly coronavirus has compounded this situation. And then they recently had an election where, you know, everybody said it was all the voting was rigged. So they've had these demonstrations. Well, over the weekend, one of the leading opposition figures, an Olga Kovalkova, I guess is her name, she was just apprehended. They don't know where she is. You know, there's reports that she was just taken. And, you know, we may never see her again. And it's just, but it speaks to, but, you know, these protesters, they're coming out as families, they're bringing their children, they're bringing their dogs.
It's so great, you know, in that situation.
I mean, they're amazingly courageous to do this, you know, but, and that, you know, they're just, Belarus is just using these really old style tactics, you know, they're rounding up, they're arresting like 3,000 people at a time. So, but it will be interesting to see what will happen. Russia, of course, says they are standing ready to, you know, to defend Belarus. But, you know, I don't know where that's going. I don't know what you think.
Yeah. Can I just remind people who may be newer listeners that you lived in Russia for 5 years, which is why we've been covering Russian poisonings and all things Eastern Bloc in such detail. It is fascinating. And you have such a unique view into it and interest in it. So thank you, Julie, for keeping up to date.
And then one last international story. Now, they're really, I mean, they're more your neighbors than international types, but Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, you know, they're right there. They got the big Netflix deal, $150 million to do some podcasts. So that's nice. But here's the part that was of interest to me, sisters. Okay. I mean, I'm signing up for this podcast. Okay. There's no doubt about that. But have you heard what their podcast is going to be about? Here's the words that were described in Variety magazine: inspirational family programming, powerful storytelling, truthful and relatable, positivity, and the need for connection. Now, Leanne Dolan, didn't you write the need for connection in our first book? I don't want to be bitter business bureau about this. I mean, I'm happy that they got the $150 million and they can pay off what they need to pay off for those renovations in their old crusty castle there. But
you feel like they're stealing our concept? That's it? That's your...
inspirational family programming, Liz? How about some powerful storytelling? Do you think they have a crease release story like I did today? I mean, I'm telling you.
Yeah, okay.
Truthful, relatable. Liz, you laid it on the line with your rug in the back of your car. Come on, come on. I mean,
confessional.
Positivity? I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure it's going to be great.
But we'll listen, exactly.
Julie, I think if they do a royalty report, we're going to have some IP issues and then we can contact a lawyer. Yeah, I would. Let's watch for that. If they start to do a weekly royalty report. All right. We're going to tell you about our big contest when we get back on Instagram and Facebook. But first, we have to thank a couple of sponsors that allow us to provide Satellite Sisters to you free of charge. All right, Satellite Sisterhood, the fall is here and we have a new contest for you. That's right. We want to see your photos on Instagram and Facebook. And here's the big idea. Julie came up with it. Show us what you did. Okay, Jewel, tell the people what you mean.
We want to look at what I did. Okay, we want you to share what you've been doing, big or small. Did you paint a picture? How about you painted? Did you paint a room? Did you plant a garden? Did you knit a sweater? Did you make a dress, a wreath? Did you make a cake? Did you make a shishak? Did you throw a pot? Did you plant some pot? Any of it is good. We want to see it. Okay.
Anything you accomplished.
Yes, yes. And we want these on pictures for Instagram and Facebook with the hashtag. This is important, right, Leanne? Sat yes. Sister, look what I did. Sat Sisters, look what I did.
That's right. So this is a contest on Instagram and Facebook. The prize is going to be a big stash of Satellite Sisters products. We're going to put together a bag full of swag and send it out to you. But the hashtag is key because we need to be able to find your entries. And that's how we do it with the hashtag. Hashtag Sat Sisters. Look what I did. All one word. Post your photos September 8th through the 28th. And winners will be announced on our show on the 29th. It's a random drawing. So even as Julie mentioned, if it's a tiny, tiny accomplishment, maybe unlike Liz, who couldn't get her rug cleaned, maybe you got your rug cleaned this summer.
There's nothing, nothing is too big or too small. Okay. Don't overthink this, people. Just share with us what you've been doing, big and small. Okay. It's going to be fun.
Sat Sisters, look what I did. You can start posting right now through the 28th. You can post both on Facebook and on Instagram. We're going to pick one winner from each. Julie, I think this is a fun idea. I can't wait to see what people post.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, I know. Do you have anything to post? Can you kick us off? What did you accomplish this summer?
Oh, Leanne, I didn't know you were going to ask that.
Okay, yeah, I put you on the spot. Sorry.
I don't know. What I'm going to come up with something. Big or small. I'm going to come up with it and I'm going to put it online. Yep.
You could bake some brownies right after the show and that would totally count. So.
I know what I can do. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Hashtag it's sisters. Look what I did. And I'll put that info in the show notes too. So everyone can remember how to do that. Because we do being able to find all the entries and we get a big kick out of these contests.
Right. Right. But it's key. It's key to finding the entries. So that's why we insist on the hashtag. I'm sure there are other ways we could monetize the hashtag, but we don't know how to do that. So we need it. We need it to just find your entry. All right. I want to remind people too that I'm doing a whole bunch of those crowdcast, bring your own book clubs this fall.
Oh,
again.
Yay.
They were hit in the spring and the summer. I was so happy to talk to so many readers of the Sweeney Sisters. And so I am announcing 4 dates starting tomorrow. So it's going to be a bunch of Wednesdays in September and October. And then I'm having a Sunday brunch time slot for people who that might work better. So September 9th at 4 Pacific, September 16th at 7 Pacific, October 14th at 4 Pacific, and October 18th at 9 a.m./noon Eastern. Okay, so Wednesday night, just sign up. It's free. It's on a platform called Crowdcast. So we'll put the link in the show notes. I'll also spread the link around social media. You can go to my website, leandolan.com. Click on the book clubs on the nav bar. The link is there. There are plenty of places to find the link to Crowdcast. That's the platform. You have to enter an email, but then that's it. Then your work is done and you'll be reminded when to come. You're not on camera. It's me. You can ask any questions. These are not taped. So they're open and we have a lot of fun and they're free. And you can bring your whole book club. I'll have a whole book club showing up on the 16th. So I'm excited about that. Or you can just come by yourself and be part of my book club. So there you go. All right, Liz, we have some time for entertaining sisters. What do you got?
Okay, here's a quickie. I wanted a wildly escapist book to listen to on my drive home from Oregon. So I picked a great one. Carl Hiaasen, you know, who's written many bestsellers, including like Skinny Dip and others that I've loved, has a brand new book out called Squeeze Me. And, you know, all of his stories are crazy, satirical stories of things that really could only happen in Florida. So this one starts when a society matron is eaten by a giant Burmese python sister.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
That's good. And, that's a good beginning.
Yeah. And then Julia gets more absurd from there. That's like the straightest part of the book. And then it spins wildly out of control. It's what one reviewer called Carl Hyacin's signature hijinks. So I was totally in the mood for some signature hijinks, and I loved it. One other note on this, the main character star is a critter removal specialist, because obviously there are a lot of snakes in this story. So who's going to handle the snakes? And it's a female character named Angie Armstrong, who is fantastic. And so really loved it. One heads up, this is all very colorful people. So it's very colorful language. So if that's not your thing, maybe this is not your book. But I loved it and highly recommend it. Carl Hyacin's Squeeze Me. Funny title, right?
Yes, it is. Oh, yeah, now I get it. Yeah. The snake analogy. Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Well, sisters, I have a recommendation for you. This is on Netflix. It's a Norwegian series called Occupied. And this is a climate change thriller. Those are three words you never really see together like that, but that is really the premise of this show. There are three seasons that are on Netflix right now. There are subtitles, but it has Norwegians. They may be the good guys. We're not certain. The Russians, they're definitely the bad guys. And then there's the EU, and they are sort of good guys and sort of bad guys in this. But there's lots of plot twists, interesting characters, and it's a very sort of plausible plot, which I don't want to give away any of the details to it, but it's very involving. I'm enjoying it. Occupied.
Oh, Julie. Okay, that sounds good. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I tuned into something on Netflix this weekend, just surprisingly a sob fest. And it's called a documentary called The Speed Cubers. And it's about Rubik's Cube competitions.
Oh,
and what I liked about it was only 40 minutes long. It wasn't like a 14-part series on this. It was a really simple story about these two top competitors and the relationship that they have, but that it sets the whole stage for this really niche competitive world of speed cubing. And Julie, I think like your grandkids would really enjoy it. It's appropriate for anybody. You know, the language is fine. It's fun to see them. I had no idea that Rubik's Cubes are all about math. I didn't know that, which is probably
that's why I couldn't never could solve them.
Yes.
Okay. Qualified.
Okay. Maybe that's a hard lesson to learn at this point in our lives.
It is.
That's a very bitter lesson. Okay.
So that's going to be no hashtag sad sisters. Look what I did. That's
but maybe someone out there has mastered the algorithms and they can show us, and that would be fun. We'll also, I guess, take videos. But anyway, it's a surprisingly moving, very charming documentary called The Speed Cubers. And that's on Netflix. Also, I have a bunch of books that I read this week over the last couple of weeks that just all happened to be set in France and be about wine or food, but they couldn't be more different. So I'm going to put those in the newsletter this week. I'll do a little book roundup in the newsletter and pep talk. So if you haven't signed up for pep talk, that's a good inspiration to do that. But I love them. All three of them were different, but I loved all of them.
Oh, okay.
All right. We would like to thank Sergio Enriquez for engineering Satellite Sisters and connecting us and making it all happen behind the scenes. Thank you, Sergio. We always appreciate your hard work. And thanks to you, the Satellite Sisterhood and Mr. Hood, your support of the people that support us make this all possible. And we really appreciate it. All right. On our to-do list, Liz, what do you got?
Okay, well, I just got home after being away for 2.5 months, sister. So I have 2.5 months worth of mail that I need to go through. I was having someone collect my mail while I was gone and then take pictures of it and send me pictures so I could see if any of it looked important. And none of it looked important for 2.5 months.
Just put it in that box of yours, Liz.
There was only one letter that looked important. It had urgent in big letters on it. So, Leon, when your son Colin was here doing doing a favor for me, some home improvement. I had him open that letter and take a picture of it and text it to me. It's a good thing I did, because that was my water in Bend was going to get turned off. So I caught that in the nick of time. But
look what you did, Liz. That's pretty good.
There you go, Liz. Take a picture of that.
You guys are always so supportive of me. Thank you. Leon, how about you?
I am getting my hair cut and colored this week. So I'm excited about that. It's only my second. Last one was back in May. So I have a lot of events this fall. I decided it's time. Headed over. My hairdresser is working out of her house. So she's set up outside out of her house. So I will be headed there this week. It's exciting. I mean, I got to prep all week for that. You just got to get ready. I'm looking forward to it.
That is really good. Well, on my to-do list is the U.S. Open. Now, this is the first sporting event that I've watched. Here's the thing. It's weird, but good. So it's just tennis. No crowds, no cheering, no atmosphere, just hardcore tennis. And the good news is there are three American women in the quarterfinals, Brady, Rogers, and Serena. And three of the women in the quarterfinals are also moms. So you got to root for all of them, right?
Wow.
So turn it on. The hardcore tennis. Just watch the tennis. That's all it's all about. Yep. It's a good start. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of the U.S. Open for doing it. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. It is good, but weird. I agree. Yeah. I agree. Yep. I agree. All right. That's our show for the week. Thanks, everybody. Hey, Julie, Liz, have a good week.
You too, Leanne.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.